Baddies!
I feel like we're doing the walk of shame right now.
Walk of shame time, Allie. Grab your fucking shoes. Grab your bra and panties off the floor. We got to get our shit and get out of here.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't brushed my hair. I feel like I didn't come last night.
No. I basically was blacked out.
Yeah.
Went home with a stranger.
Yeah.
And now I have to creep out of their house before they wake up.
Yeah, and everybody's like getting in their car to go to work. And I'm like getting in my car to drive home.
The birds
my
are
heels
chirping.
On, my basketball shorts on.
It's the anxiety of the birds start chirping and you're like...
We've been gone for a long time and we're gonna address that.
We've been gone for a minute,
but
now we back. Let us hit it.
Oh, you know, is that a,
it's
no?
a song. Yeah,
I thought
yeah,
you
yeah.
just wrote that.
No, it's come on, it's like Neo.
It's episode 50, which is a big fucking deal.
Hey, halfway to 100, bad
Cheers.
Bitch. Tink. I think I forgot how to podcast. Elephant in the room.
Okay, so like we already tried to film this podcast because some of you probably have no fucking idea what I'm about to talk about, but
literally take two.
We already tried to film this and I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to say. And so I'm just going to be really honest with you guys. Anyone that follows me on TikTok or follows Bad Therapy on Instagram may have seen me crashing the fuck out.
They witnessed the crash out.
Yeah, there was an atomic bomb dropped on my relationship and it fucking shook my world up for like a couple weeks and we didn't know how to come back because initially I wanted to come on here and light the world on fire and spill all of the drama and all of the tea and make my life incredibly worse than it already was, which I'm glad we took a little bit of a break because I have now come to my senses and I do not want to do that further. I am working on my relationship in private and I feel like, you know, we came and sat down to talk about exactly what happened because we felt like we owed it to you guys. And while I still feel like I owe, you know, our loyal following some sort of explanation, we filmed this already and I was having a hard time articulating what I wanted to say because I feel like there's a lot of stuff I want to say or should say that I can't really say. And there's reasons for that. Like one being I am trying to work on the relationship and two being I'm very intertwined with this person's life. We work together. I feel like I'm giving like a fucking PowerPoint to my entire like personal life. Like you guys don't know us personally. It's easy for me to tell these things to strangers and it's a lot different to then broadcast it to everyone on your inside world and your job. And I just decided that I am not ready to talk about it because I feel like I at least owe it to this podcast, especially it being a relationship podcast. Like it didn't feel genuine. You know, I want to talk about what happened at a later date when I can go into detail, when I've had more time to process it. And I kind of know like what the situation is and what I want to say. And like, I want it full transparency and full honesty at some point, but I'm just not ready to do that right now. I don't see how throwing like gasoline on the fire right now is going to help in any way besides just add more stress to an already very stressful, shitty situation. And I hope you guys understand, but just know that like I do want to talk about it and I think it's a very important topic that needs to be touched on. I just think it needs to be touched on in the right way.
Touched on.
You need to touch on it in the right way. And I don't think that I have the capacity to do that right now. And I don't want to sit here and like fucking beat around the bush or make excuses. I want to be honest. And I don't think I know what the fuck is going on enough to do that. I don't think I've had enough time to really process or even like, you know, I'm not going to come back and be like, we're back together and everything's great. And like, we're working on things when, you know, we're trying to fix things. There's no say if that's going to work. And I don't want to come here and say something and then it not, you know, like there's just a lot like that's not certain right now. I'm human. All I can do is what feels right in my heart. And I feel like it's not the advice that I would give to my listeners what I'm doing right now, but it's what feels right for me in the moment. And I hope that at a later date, I can sit down and kind of like enlighten you, shed some light on the situation that is beneficial to the people listening and doesn't make me at the same time look like a giant fucking idiot.
Dumb bitch.
Yeah.
And that's totally fair. And I think anyone who actually is a loyal follower is respecting of that, and the rest of the people don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
So
it really doesn't matter. I think the one takeaway that we have from all of this, the one piece of tangible advice we can give you from the situation, is don't post shit on the internet or tell your friends and family about something when you're emotionally charged.
Yeah,
wait till you're through the hugely emotionally charged.
Take it from me, like I, as much as I, you know, in the moment did not give a single flying fuck, I wish there was like one singular voice of reason in my head or around me that was like, maybe wait 30 more minutes before you announce it to the world what happened. Because, you know, what I found out was something that I thought was unforgivable. And like, why would I, you know, there was no salvaging it in my mind. So I didn't care in the moment. I was also half a bottle of vodka deep and very hurt, very angry, very fucking drunk, very drunk. Did I mention I was drunk? And yeah, it was just a really shitty, messy, messy time. And that's a great word for it. I just don't want to add to the mess that's already been created. Not necessarily by me. You know, I didn't create this mess, but I did add to it quite a bit. And yeah, it just wouldn't have felt right to come on here and talk about it the way that we were talking about it in the last podcast, yeah. But it also doesn't feel right to not address it. So this is...
We both have a lot to say about it. We may say it at a later date. We may not. I think
definitely we will talk about it at a later date. It just, like, you know, whether it works out or it doesn't work out, I still think it's something that, you know, maybe we won't make it all about me, but I think, like, that's part of this podcast that we enjoy is, like, sharing our personal experiences with you and what we've learned. And this is my first time going through this, so I need to experience it to learn from it to then give advice.
Give advice on
like,
it.
Like, I don't know what the fuck to tell you guys because it's hard. It's like your heart and your mind and, you know, relationships are not so black and white. And I think that's why I tend to play devil's advocate on this podcast. And, you know, Madison too, like she's found her person and he treats her amazing. And we're fucking clapping for the queen. We're so happy for them and their relationship. I'm so happy for them and their relationship. You guys are happy. It's nice to see and hear because it like gives you hope.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that like just because you're going through something in your relationship that it's that easy to walk away or to give up, I think is a better way to put it because every situation's different. And like sometimes it's just like things have to happen in a certain time frame. You don't want to walk away with what ifs. Like if you have that type of cutoff game, then good for you. Like I've never been like that. I've been in many situations where I've stayed far too long with a piece of shit man that treated me like shit that I shouldn't have. I don't feel I'm in that era of my life anymore. I think I have like the slightest bit of self-respect nowadays. And I still am struggling with the situation. Like it's so much easier said than done. It's really easy to give advice on the outside looking in. And like I just mentioned, I like to play devil's advocate on this podcast because Madison's a lot more strong-willed than me. I'm much more of an understanding, forgiving. Not that Madison's not understanding and forgiving, but she... But she's just a little bit more decisive with what she wants. And I think that's a great quality to have. I wish I was like that. I am just not like that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that if you lean more towards my side of things. But you definitely need to know where the line is drawn. And you can't let people take advantage of you and shit all over you, embarrass you. And... just like make you unhappy. Like if you're not happy, then you should leave. And I stand by everything I've ever said on this podcast. And I also see, you know, both sides. It's not always that black and white. There's a huge gray area when your emotions are involved. And like, there's also a huge side of relationships that the people in your life don't see. You know, we tend to confide in our family and friends when things are going wrong. But how often do we talk about all of the really cute, sweet, good moments? Probably maybe a little bit, but not as often. And it's like, they're not there for the conversations. They don't know the person and they don't love the person like you do. So they don't have as much space capacity for forgiveness as you might for the person that you love, which sometimes that can get messy because we tend to forgive the person we love far too many times. So I think there's like a fine line and I always thought the fine line would be where I am now. But like I said, it's just not that easy sometimes. And I'm trying to hold grace for myself while I'm going through this as to not judge myself for what I feel like I should be doing. I'm trying to just do and handle it in the way that works for me that is going to help me navigate this really confusing time and situation.
Yeah. And I mean, you can get feedback and pushback from friends and family, but you know, at the end of the day, you're going to make the decision based on your life and what you want and what you feel. And so like you made a really good point. Your friends and family see a lot of the bad sides, a lot of the negative side, because of course it's like you want to feel safe to vent to people. The problem with that is you're not venting about the good things usually because mm-hmm. that's usually just life. And it's like, oh, he did something nice today. I'm not going to go tell everybody
or
about
even
it.
Like if you do, it's the bad things are a lot easier to remember.
For sure. And I think that's why it's so important to really trust yourself and trust your intuition. And if you cannot seem to walk away from somebody who is not treating you well, date them until you don't want to anymore. Because there will come a point that you are not interested in being with that person anymore.
It's true. Like if someone really is not treating you well, there's only so much you're going to want to put up with as like a sane human with like a self-respect.
Yeah.
That's not the greatest advice in the world. But if you physically cannot get yourself out of the relationship and like you just feel like, what if they change? What if things get better? Maybe they will, you know? And if you really feel that way, then you should stay until you really know for sure that they're not going to get better. Just make sure that you know when it's time to walk away, it's time to walk away.
If it's the person that you are not supposed to be with, it will come to a breaking point
yeah.
at some point or another. It's up to you how deep you want to get in that. Like, yeah, you're talking about marriage and kids and really intertwining yourself with someone who's not right for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's a different consideration. But if you're dating and you're in your early stages of life, or not even early stages of life, if you're in the early stages of dating somebody and you're seeing a lot of red flags, you know, obviously on this podcast, we've said 1,000 times, if they show you who they are, believe them. Mm-hmm. Red flags are not going away. Do not date somebody for their potential, because potential is not real. I mean all those things from the bottom of my heart, but also it's not that easy. It's not so easy to say, oh, it's not working, so I'm just going to walk away. But there will come a point, I promise you, there will come a point where you don't actually even want to be with that person anymore.
Yeah.
That's when you need to leave.
And to your point of what you were just saying about believe someone when they show you who they are, I think the other side of that that makes that so hard is that people have good sides to them too. So it's like, is the bad side a mistake that they're learning from, or is that who they are? And sometimes it's hard to decipher, because like, I do believe that people can make mistakes and be better and change and not make the same mistakes. And I think it takes a lot of work, and I think it takes people to actually want to change. And I think it just becomes a slippery slope when we start to make excuses for people because they treat us good half the time, but then they do all these terrible things. I think like what you really need to look out for is a pattern within people, and not saying that you need to let them like fuck you over multiple times in the same way. But if something happens and you decide to forgive somebody and they do it again, then it's kind of like, okay, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
And some of the best advice that I recently heard is that if you're having a hard time deciphering if someone should be allowed to stay in your life or not, ask yourself, is this something that they did, or is this who they are as a person? Because everybody makes mistakes. We're all human beings. We're all navigating life at the same time. But to judge if they're a good or bad person or not, ask yourself, is this who they are, or is this what they did? Because a mistake is one thing, a core and character value is a completely separate issue.
I 100% agree with that.
Okay, so we're moving on. And if we ever touch back, we'll let you know, because you'll be watching and you'll hear it. So that's that on that.
Nice transition there, man.
There is another elephant in the room that I want to discuss.
Okay.
And it's my yams. So
on a lighter note.
On a lighter note, my tiggle bitties that aren't tiggles yet. But I feel like there is such a societal pressure for plastic surgery, and I've fallen into the trap. I really, really, really want to get my tits done. I'm coming to you guys for once. I'm coming to the listeners. I would love some feedback on anyone who's gotten their boobs done and how they feel about it, their regrets. Was it worth it? Did you get sick? You know, I feel like there's so many different narratives out there.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Asking them, like, I feel like all the people that have had problems are going to be the ones that reach out.
They're like, don't fucking do it. Yeah, but I don't know. I've also had girls reach out and be like, it's the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm like, whoa, the best thing you ever did?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Whoa.
Maybe let's try to accomplish.
We need to get you outside of the box a little bit, my girl. I just feel like you look on Instagram, you look on TikTok, and there's just like these immaculately perfect influencers. And I know that's not a reason to want to do something, mm-hmm. but when it's in front of your face every single day, like, I do feel like it influences me.
I definitely would like to get my boobs done. Like, I would love to get my boobs done. I have big boobs. They're a D cup, but they fucking sag. They're so unappealing to look at when I'm not wearing a bra. Like, they are not cute. They're not like evenly strong. Like, one hangs lower than the other. Huh. They like, they're
paint us a picture.
They're not like aesthetically pleasing to look at, in my opinion. Obviously, I've never had any complaints, but I think to me it's like a huge insecurity, because they don't look, and I don't even know if I would compare it to, like, they don't look like, you know, what they look like on Instagram or all these like celebrities. Maybe that is why I feel that way. Just society, and like, nobody has natural boobs anymore, and if they're big, they get a boob job because they just fucking sag.
Yeah.
But I just can't stand looking at them. I feel insecure about them. I would love to just not feel insecure about them. And so that's coming from like the other perspective, because I wouldn't want to change the size. I don't think. Maybe I would go a little bigger if I was getting them done, just because, yeah, I'm already
YOLO,
there.
Yeah.
But I just would want them lifted and them to look pretty when I'm not wearing anything, you know?
That's exactly how I feel about it. And it's like, here's my conflict. Do I need them? No.
No.
Am I confident without them? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I feel like I would be more confident and more happy with my body with them?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. But it's also like, does it open the door to, I need to change things about myself in order to feel good about myself? It's like you have a mental battle with it, where it's like, where do you draw the line?
My honest opinion, and maybe this is just because I have the same desires as you, I've always hated my nose. And I know that getting my nose job, like, I don't mind my nose from the front, but of my side profiles, I fucking hate it. I've gotten bullied for how big my nose is my whole life. I personally just don't fucking like it. Sometimes I see an angle of myself and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to fly to Turkey tomorrow and get my nose done. But my thought process on it, honestly, is whatever makes you feel good, like, who gives a fuck? I don't think it's, as long as you don't end up looking like a plastic blow-up doll at the end of it, like, and if that's what you want, that's the aesthetic that you want, then whatever, more to you. But if you want to just enhance your features and feel better about yourself, I don't see anything wrong with that. And the reason that I say this is, like, I have lip injections and I was never like a real hater. Me and Madison used to live in San Diego. We'd see some girls and we were like, oh my God, we would never.
We literally looked each other in the face one day and said, we will never get lip filler.
But I don't think I actually meant that if I said it. I don't remember saying that specifically. I think I meant, like, you know, people give lip filler a really bad look, some girls.
Well, and I think at that point in our life, it was, most of the filler we saw was pretty bad.
Well, it was like very new. Yeah. And people were paying.
Way overdoing it.
Yeah, people were paying like cheap prices to get, you know, something that needs to be done very well to look good. Anyways, I got my lips done. I just wanted to try it out. I didn't even feel that insecure about my lips. It was never like a thing. It was just kind of like a trend at the time. And I met some lady and I was like, you know, I want to get my lips done. We're just going to try it. I can always dissolve it if I don't like it. Let me just say, I have never been the same bitch ever since.
Not one time.
My confidence from that moment forward was insane compared to what it was. I look back on pictures. All I got were my lips filled and I look like a completely different person.
You know, I used to go into the injector and be like, bye, Allie, I'm going to get my new face.
Yeah. But it's it's such a small thing that just brought me so much more joy to my life. Like, I feel more confident. I don't look like, I feel like you look at me, you don't really know that I have my lips done. Maybe if you're a girl and you have them, you would know. But I remember talking to some guys I used to work with at a bar.
They have no idea.
Talking about getting lip filler and they looked at me and they're like, you don't need it. I already have it, you fucking dill.
It's so funny. My fiance too, because I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get my lips done. And this was pretty early on in our relationship. And he'd be like, why are you getting your lips done? You don't need your lips done. I said, baby, you've never seen me without my lips done.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And so like, what do you mean I don't need to get them done? And I feel like this is a part of it too, is like, there needs to be more transparency with people, because like, I have met a couple girls who are like, I am all natural. I'm like, bitch,
yeah,
no the fuck you're not. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's so obvious.
How embarrassing though to say that. When
and why do we feel the need
sometimes
to lie?
People will compliment my lips and I will literally immediately say, thanks, they're fake.
Thank you, I, like, get them done.
It's a joke because I haven't had my lips filled in 2 years. They definitely don't look like this naturally, and it's not like I have anything crazy, but they're not real, and I don't want to walk around and make other girls feel bad about their natural features when I paid for this shit.
That's a huge part of it, is like, I think there's a lot of societal pressures of like, this is how you're supposed to look without anything. Mm-hmm. But in reality, there's so much
work behind that
has been done.
Like that no makeup look is, it's all filler and Botox.
It's Sculptra, yeah. Botox, Kybella,
yeah.
Liposuction. Yeah. There's actually an influencer that I follow, and I'm fucking obsessed with her because she is genuinely a 10 out of 10. I think she's so unbelievably stunning, but also so unbelievably open. Mm-hmm. Every time she gets something done, she goes on and says, okay, I just got this doctor, you guys should go get it, I look fucking snatched. She does, she looks amazing.
She probably looks natural and beautiful, and
it's,
like,
it's tens of thousands of dollars worth of work,
and
it's
natural.
Like, nobody would ever assume that, especially men.
My favorite thing is when a man is like, I love my women natural, and then you see a picture of her and she's
full beat,
she's got like no makeup on, but she has like, her eyelashes are done. It's not like the big eyelashes, but there's like extensions,
she has eyebrows,
she's got like her lips filled, she's got Botox, she's got a little bit of cheek filler, she's got a little chin filler, she's got Kybella, she's on Ozempic. It's just like, to a man, it's so funny because they can't see it.
And they think that's what we're supposed to just like look like.
But they think like natural is such a rich thing to say. That what they mean is like makeup caked on, but like, ain't nobody fucking look like that naturally.
It's like my high maintenance to be low maintenance.
Yes.
I actually have a hilarious story about this. So I'm in Aspen a couple weekends ago. Aspen is like, the girls there are 11s. Mm-hmm. I felt like a fucking swamp water girl. Like, the girls there are so put together. I mean, they have money. That's it. Everyone there has money. So there's this girl that we're hanging out with, and she is genuinely probably the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in person. Like, to a T, perfect. 10 out of 10. Eyebrows, hair, skin, lips, nose, jaw, you fucking name it. And the guys that we were with, you know, we were talking about, me and my friend were talking about how like, we want to know her injector, because like, fuck, I want to look like her.
What were the guys like, no way.
I kid you not. Oh. The boys were like, what do you mean her injector? That girl does not have any work done.
Oh my God.
Me and my friends like slow cocked our head like, are you guys being serious? We got in a full-blown argument. The boys were like, you guys are being mean girls. You are shit talking. We weren't even talking shit.
We want what she has.
I
want
to be you. I want to wear your skin.
Tell me who you paid to look like that.
So it gets to a breaking point where the boys are like, you guys are so wrong. And so me and my friend go and ask the girl, hey, like, very nonchalant. She was a girl. We were friends. It wasn't like we were like, your face?
What do you have done?
We're just like, hey, like, I want to look like you. Where do you go?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, bitch. Put us on immediately. Told us everything that she does, which is, you wouldn't even believe the amount of shit.
Yeah.
It's so natural and so beautiful looking, but it was so funny because we went back and laughed in the boys' fucking faces.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, I feel like plastic surgery and all of like the cosmetic medical enhancements are so frowned upon. And I don't genuinely think there's anything wrong with it if it's done well and done right and makes you feel better and look better. Like, for the most part, the people that we're trying to impress as women, the guys don't even fucking know. The only people that are gonna know are the girls, and the only girls that are gonna hate on you are the girls that wish they were you.
No, exactly. And the ones that are like, I would never do that. Honey, we can tell. Yeah. Honey, we could tell. So we went back and we said that to them. And I was like, what do you guys think of my face? Mm-hmm. They were like, there's no way you have anything done. Sir, I've been getting Botox and filler for half of a decade.
Yeah.
Okay. Consistently.
Yeah.
You think that my forehead is plastered flat to my fucking face?
You think I don't have a single fine line after the life I've lived?
And it's so like, I feel like there's such a negative narrative towards it. Like someone told me recently, Botox gives you Alzheimer's and dementia without a doubt. Like, if you're injecting Botox into your brain, you're destroying your brain system for empathy, and you're giving yourself Alzheimer's and dementia. Hope it's worth it. I said, beyond.
Like, I won't remember it by then anyways.
No, literally, I'm never going to know that.
I won't know that I have dementia.
No, but my forehead will be fucking snatched.
But I won't have a wrinkle in sight.
Obviously, I sound stupid when I fucking say
that. We don't mean that.
No, that's such a fear-mongering narrative because...
anything can cause
show
dementia.
Me the receipts.
Also, like, everything causes cancer, everything causes dementia, everything causes autism, everything fucking causes fucking malaria disease.
Malaria
in your left big toe. Like, it's, if you ever have like an illness and you look it up, it could be linked to like 25 different things.
Don't go on WebMD or Reddit.
Sunscreen,
don't do it.
Caffeine. It's like, something's gonna fucking kill me one day, and until somebody can show me some hardcore proof, because you never know, like, there's always genetics involved, and like, I'm not a fucking doctor, so maybe some doctor
you're
out
not?
There is listening to this fucking wanting to punch the screen or the speaker or whatever they're listening to this on. I'm a firm believer in that something is gonna kill you one day, and as long as you're not like straight up smoking cigarettes wondering why you
have lung cancer,
then I don't know.
Here's the thing about this is like, you have to choose how to take care of yourself. Like, obviously you can't be 100% bad 100% of the time. It's give and take. We're 80-20, you know, lifestyle is the healthy lifestyle. I work out every day. I eat organic, fucking grass-fed, $1,000 meat and vegetables. I get a good amount of sunshine. I do things that benefit me. I'm gonna get Botox.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be perfect because I feel like it matters how I'm living and how I feel right now is what matters. Maybe that's a stupid mindset. When I'm like 80, I'll be like, God damn it, Madison.
I mean, maybe, but by fucking then, good Lord, all your good days are gone anyway. So you
insane.
Might as well enjoy it while you can.
Full circle back to my rack. I'm like, everyone's like, you could get them after you get kids. I'm like, when it doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so rude because it still matters. You still want to feel hot and good about yourself. But like, when I have kids, I'm not going to be
running around with your titties
with
out.
My rack out.
Yeah.
And my fiance is like, are you going to be do that? Are you planning on running around with your rack out? I'm like, babe, I do anyway. They're just
not there.
Yeah, it's just non-existent. It's not like I'm going to be a bimbo with low-cut shirts and acting like a fool. It's just...
No, you'll just have a little bit more to show.
And I feel like it's going to round me out. And maybe that's stupid. You'll probably see me in a couple weeks with a pair of tits. Maybe I'm in a bipolar manic episode. Yeah. I don't know.
But we will definitely let you guys know when that happens. You just come on with new tits and we're like, what are you talking about?
Well, it's so funny. We went shopping.
They're natural.
We went... No, these are real. What the fuck? They look at like the old videos. They're like,
I just am wearing a bigger push-up.
No.
Okay, Kylie Jenner.
We went, no, seriously, shut the fuck up, Kylie Jenner. We went shopping this weekend and we had just had this conversation and I was like, okay, well, I really want them done, but since it's not happening right now, like I need a bombshell.
Yeah.
And like, if you couldn't tell.
Madison loves her bombshell.
I love me a bombshell because it adds 2 cup sizes. The issue is there's no volume.
Can I tell you something that's going to break your fucking heart right now?
Oh, don't tell me.
I feel like even with the bombshell, I don't notice that your boobs look bigger.
What do you mean?
I feel like they look the same because there's no cleavage.
Well, hold on. Let me show you something.
I feel like it's a waste of your money because I... I don't...
There's some.
I mean, they look big, but I feel like they all... This guy... Okay, well, think of it from this perspective. They always look big then if they look the same.
Thank you, sweetie.
You know?
The bombshell for me is mental, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's
they just
I feel, like,
feel better.
The tits for me would be mental too.
Oh, God. Me in a bombshell. I'm not trying to, like, flex on you because my boobs are saggy and
she
one of them...
She told me I have small tits and hers are huge. It's fine.
No, but, like, there's pros and cons. Like, when my boobs used to be small, they were perky and, well, they've always been big, but they go through phases. And maybe that's why they're saggy because I just lose weight, gain weight, whatever. I can't wear any low-cut shirts without feeling extremely fucking provocative. That's another thing, which I think that's more your personality. Like, you like that type of attention. No offense.
So, three roasts in the last 5 minutes.
But you do, like, I feel like, I don't know if it's because you feel like you don't have boobs, so you try to, like, push them out more and, like, wear more low-cut stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I have boobs, and I always feel so insecure when I wear a low-cut shirt because my boobs, I feel so provocative, and I feel so inappropriate. Like, I feel, maybe it's because I work, like, a 9-to-5, and, like, there's no reason for me to have my tits out.
For
but
sure.
Even, like, on the podcast, like, if I have my yams out, like, you can guarantee someone's in the comments calling me a whore.
Look at
or
her
a
tits
fucking
out.
Sleazy or a hooker. And sometimes I just want to wear a fucking t-shirt and it's just so happens to be like a, like if I had didn't have tits it would be so cute and so innocent and so sweet, but because I have boobs I look like a floozy.
And you know, I feel like that's been a hesitation of mine because this is something my fiance said. He's like, you know, baby, I don't care, I support you in whatever the fuck you want, but you know, I don't know what necessarily what my work would think of that or my parents would think of that. And like,
you just might honestly find yourself wearing more high
conservative clothing.
Yeah,
but you know, I doubt that.
Yeah. No, I like I'm saying you're different, but it is harder to mask it like without looking. That's what I'm saying. It's more your personality, and that's not like a diss on you. Like you're just more vivacious and like outgoing and like eccentric in that realm. Like
yeah.
you like you show up to my house with full beat, all new makeup, red blush on, and yeah. I'm like, maybe I should put some eyeliner on. Like that's just not my personality.
I feel like if I got my tits done, it would make sense.
Yeah,
people wouldn't be like, that was random.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want it to be conversation. And I think that's like, maybe you shouldn't care what other people think about you.
It'll definitely be a conversation and there'll definitely be hating bitches. Who gives a fuck?
I'm just going to go on Instagram and post a picture and be like, check out my new rack. Like, for the haters in the back, check out my rack.
I bought it at Victoria's Secret.
No, these are real. It's a bombshell. So anyway, we'll round out this conversation by saying, if you feel like something is going to make you feel better about yourself, weigh out the pros and cons.
Yeah.
Don't just do it because you think you should or society thinks you should. Like, have a reason and have a feeling that matters enough.
Want it longer than 3 months.
I've been wanting to get my tits done for years.
And do your research on like the surgeon you go to. Don't go to someone cheaper just because it's cheap. Make sure you're doing your research, especially if it's something with your face, because you can't really go back and fix that. And I've seen so many horror stories of girls fucking their nose.
Not trying to be unbotched at all.
They're on their third nose job. They can't breathe now, you know, things like that. So
nose is scary because it's like once you mess that up, it's really kind of hard to fix it.
So do your research and save up a pretty penny if that's what you have to do. But like we're all for it. If it makes you feel good, do whatever you want. The gag of it all is no man wants the girl with Botox and filler, but they all want the girl with Botox and filler. They just don't fucking know that they have Botox and filler because men are dumb.
It's so funny because they think they want the natural girl or they want the girl who doesn't need all that stuff, who doesn't want to do all that stuff. But then they're attracted to and drawn towards the girls who do that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, taking care of yourself and wanting to feel attractive and wanting to feel confident has somehow been construed into like a negative and vain thing.
Well, and it all stems from our perception through the male gaze. Like, I don't think in a world that, yes, we love to feel good about ourselves and it's not like I'm doing it for male validation, but would this be the standard if men didn't exist?
Imagine, picture this. We're in a world where men don't exist.
Mm.
We have like a sperm bank so we can procreate because all the men are gonna be like, you ain't shit without me.
And we just put down all the male babies.
Allie!
Just kidding.
Damn.
I'm just kidding. Well, I was trying to think, like, how would we keep a male free?
What would women look like in that world? Like, I wonder if there would be the same level of...
100% no. Because we would have such a different... Have you ever seen, like, the female gaze versus the male gaze? The female gaze is so, like, aesthetics. And I feel like women really do appreciate, like, a wrinkle and natural, and we would have hairy legs and hairy armpits, and we'd probably fucking put braids in our armpit hair, and you know, it would be such a different world. We'd probably shave artwork into our leg hair. Like, it would be such a different experience, because everything would be seen as feminine and beautiful, whereas men, anything that a man has, a woman can't have, aka leg hair, armpit hair, anything that a man wants. We've been molded into this society, and I'm not gonna get all, oh, the patriarchy, but it is the fucking truth. I think a world without men, women would get along a lot more. There wouldn't be like this competition.
There'd be no war, that's for sure.
There would be no war. What if they did a social experiment where they birthed a bunch of female babies and they raised them in a world or a community where there were only women and they only knew about women? Like, there was no idea of a man or what a man is. I just am so curious what that world would look like. Like, would we just start having sex with each other? Would we be happier that way? Would we feel like there's something missing? Like, what are, you know, we're told from the day we're born that we're meant to procreate. If we didn't have that ability, would we feel like we're missing something? Would we even know if we did what we didn't know? You know what I mean? Like,
it is insane. I actually have had this thought with religion. Like, if they held a social experiment where newborn babies were raised by robots or something that didn't have any opinion, and they were raised in their own society, no perception of religion whatsoever, what religion, what God, what thought would they create? Would they come to the idea of there's one God and they have that religious feeling? Or would it not exist at all? Would it be purely based on science? And would they wonder, how did I get here? Like,
I think it would be a lot similar to what we live now, because that is the same experience. You know, like, we were all put on this earth. Yes, we've been fed all of this information, but I think human beings have to have a certain purpose. And I think that there's so much unexplainable shit that happens that I think over time it would ultimately develop into the same thing, because people would have different opinions on what's happening, and it would start to segregate people, and maybe not the same exact like religions that we have now, but I think it would ultimately over hundreds of years end up being the same exact shit.
It would be the same thing. I had a friend the other day, we were just fucked up spitting ideas off of each other, and she was like, we used to need men because they protected us from cougars and jaguars, and we like lived in caves, they hunted while we gathered, they protected while we provided. We actually needed men to survive. But in this day and age, we do not need men. We are completely self-sufficient without them, minus insemination for procreation. Why is it still a society where men are so like pushed to the front, like we still need them in order to survive, when we really in all actuality do not? And this leads back to another thought that I had. The men of this generation want a traditional woman when they have no idea how to be a traditional man.
Nor do they want to be a traditional man.
And they expect the cooking, the cleaning, the dick sucking, all of the things that come from a traditional woman, and for her to have a full-time job, pay half the bills, and provide while he does half of what he's expected to do.
Yeah.
If you want a traditional wife, be prepared to pay every fucking bill every single time and not be upset about it. There's no resentment behind that. If I'm in the home, I'm in the home taking care of the home. If that's what my job is in our family,
I'm the home taker.
I'm not doing anything outside. I'm not changing the oil on the car. I'm not pulling the weeds. I'm not making the money. I'm doing the grocery shopping, the homemaking,
the cooking, the cleaning, taking care of the kids.
But this is the expectation of a woman is supposed to provide these things and also work and contribute. No, 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 honey. If we are both working and both contributing, then we're both taking care of the house. We're both taking care of the kids. And men are so pressed that women don't do that anymore when they have do nothing but complain about the fact that they have to pay bills.
That reminds me of something that I heard about when people were saying that it's so superficial of a woman to want a man with money. Well, you know what's even more superficial is for a man to want a woman based on her looks, because she was born with that. Like, you can't really control what you look like unless she's like a fucking maid in a lab and, you know, you've paid for all of her work or whatever. But women are attracted to men with money most of the time. We're attracted to a man with money. They have ambition. They have intelligence. They built a business from the ground up. Like, that's something that is worthy of attraction versus the man wanting the hot wife, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that if that's the dynamic that works for you, but like, that's the superficial thing, is wanting somebody just based on what they look like when they have nothing to offer you besides their looks. Obviously, that's a very bleak way to put it. I'm not saying that all of the baddies out there have nothing to offer, but like, you know, they make a lot of money because they, and now they can pick whatever wife they want because they have the money for it. Who's really the superficial one? Is it the woman picking the man that's fucking clearly capable of taking care of himself, taking care of his family, building a business, doing things that only the top 1% of the world can do? I mean, no matter what you look like or what you have to offer, that's pretty impressive. And I can see that being attractive, whether it's for money or, I mean, obviously there's a part of it that's just for money, which gold digging, whatever. But in the context of a man saying that it's superficial for a woman to only want a man for his money, but the men that have money, they only want her for her looks. So who's really being superficial here?
It's funny because gold diggers traditionally are very attractive, very well taken care of, very done up women. And the men who go for those type of women have money and they're fine with giving their money to a woman who looks like that. And then they get mad about gold diggers.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like lately men have been wanting it all. They want a woman who's really, really beautiful, also really motivated, driven, a homemaker, a breadwinner, takes care of the house, takes care of him. And it's like, all we want is a little bit of fucking security.
I feel like the other side of it too is like the way that society took, you know, women couldn't vote, women couldn't divorce their husbands. I feel like women have fought so hard to have their own business, to have their own financial security, to have their own autonomy over their own life because they weren't allowed to for so long, that when they get into relationships, I almost feel like there is this like power balance dynamic that doesn't always work because the woman brings home the money and wants to work the job and have her own life, but then the man does too, but then the man thinks of himself as the provider. Like, I feel like there are situations that I see happen where it's complicated because it's like it either has to be 50-50 in whatever way works for you. Like, one day it's 80-20, one day it's 70, you know, 35, whatever works for you. But I feel like in any sense of like, unless you're literally looking for a traditional relationship where it's like traditional wife, traditional husband, if your wife is bringing home money because she wants to, and you're also bringing home money, and like maybe you're like the sole provider and you have kids, like you, both of you are still in charge of taking care of the kids.
I mean, it should be a partnership.
Like, even if you're I guess what I'm trying to say is like, if you're a man and you want to be the provider, but your wife also wants to provide, that doesn't mean that just because you want to be a provider and you're the man that you don't have to provide for your children. And that doesn't mean financially, that means emotionally, that means change their diapers, that means cook dinner when your wife doesn't want to, unless you have like an agreement that that's what your wife wants to do. But I think women nowadays want to have their own career, at least most of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like,
so it's like, how do you balance that at that point?
Men are so mad that women want equality.
Yeah.
They should be grateful that we don't want revenge.
Yeah. Hey, period.
Because we couldn't go to the fucking grocery store without getting a rock thrown at us or raped and pillaged.
We couldn't leave our husbands if we wanted to.
You could be with a man who beat you, raped you, assaulted you.
Well, it wasn't rape if it was your husband.
I guess that's a good point.
Yeah.
Assaulted you, made you feel like nothing, and you had no option, no choice. You couldn't vote. You couldn't leave. You couldn't drive. You couldn't work. You had no autonomy whatsoever. And there's so many people that are so mad about feminism, and that word has gotten such a bad twist on it because feminism has been directly related to hating men.
Yeah.
Feminism has nothing to do with hating men.
It's about empowering women.
Feminism is about lifting up women. So that's why that word has a bad rap. But in reality, we have come so far that we don't need men anymore, and they can't fucking stand it.
And I'm gonna get my Botox, and I'm gonna get my filler, and no dummy man walking down the street's ever gonna know, and they're gonna sit there and they're gonna say how much they hate filler, and they're gonna hate Botox, and they're gonna have no idea until they start paying for my filler and my Botox.
No, literally, my man, now I'm like, baby, can I have a $2,000? He's like, what the fuck? But seriously, rounding this out, I think the whole point of a podcast, the whole point of this narrative has been that it's really important to choose a partner that wants to work with you, support you in whatever way that means. Like, yeah. If that means you working, if that means you cooking and cleaning, you guys are a team. Even if he makes 100% of the money and you do 100% of the homemaking and there's a day that you need him to change diapers, you should be with someone who is a partner and wants to do that for you, not feels like that's an obligation or you put that on them. Or if money is short and your husband's not doing as well at work and you have to go get a part-time job to support your family, it's a partnership and you should want to do that because you should want to be a team.
Yeah. And on that note, I just want to end the podcast by announcing we have some special guests that we're going to be having on the podcast coming up soon. One very soon, one is still TBD, but We're super excited about them, and we can't wait to just share our experience with these people with you.
We're pivoting. We took a break. We had some shit going on. We're moving forward, onward, upward. We're ready to break through some walls with this podcast. We feel like we've kind of, you know, been a little stagnant in how we're going to move forward. And we're really excited.
Trying to figure out the next steps.
Yeah, we're really excited about, instead of giving up, pushing through. So on that note, happy episode 50.
Happy episode 50.
And thanks for sticking with us, baddies. We love ya.
Cheers.
Tink.